pray. Lord Father, thank you, Father, for bringing us here, Father, to hear Brother Phillips' word. Father, please help him in whatever ways you always have helped him, Father, and help us understand, Father, your word through him, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. The 12th chapter of the Kata Ewane, the Gospel according to John. There are some beautiful, beautiful things in the Gospel of John. This is one of my favorite books to teach, by the way. I mean, all of them are wonderful, but the Gospel of John just brags on Jesus. And I love that. I like to brag on my Savior. Do you? Yeah, I like to brag on Jesus. One old preacher said, if you ever run out of anything to say, just brag on Jesus. That ought to take, we can do that for eternity, can't we? Now, some people want to learn about the Lord, don't they? Some people want to learn about the Lord. Some people want. Marilyn, do you agree with that? Some people want to know. She made a foolish request of God one time. Every time I start talking, she gets scared. You know, have you noticed that? She made a foolish request one time. She was laying in her bed at night and praying, and she was getting older, and she said, Lord, you better do something real fast in my life. I'm dying and getting old here and everything else, and I want to learn the Bible. And I'd really like to find a real good Indian, and he's a cowboy. You know? You've just got a little bit more than you can chew off, swallow, and digest, didn't you? Anyway, she wanted to learn about the Bible. She carried a little old Bible around with her for years and years, and that was the only solace she had with a very afflicted childhood and even whatever lifetime. But she got it. You got your question? Did you get your answer?
More than I expected.
Yeah. Some people want to seek God. They want to. Dr. John. Some people want to seek God. They want Him, and then some people just run from Him, don't they? They don't want to hear about Him. Have you ever seen somebody, if you start talking about God, they're gone. Boy, they'll change the subject and do anything in the world. Now, Jesus had been dealing with the Jews for quite a long time, hadn't He? The Jews were God's chosen people. The Jews is God's only chosen nation that He ever had. And I guarantee you God's going to take up for them, isn't He? Yeah. We know that. Don't have to worry about it. God's going to take up for Israel. Why, the old Hitler tried to destroy him. Martin Luther tried to destroy him, didn't he? Martin Luther, in his papers, he called for the destruction of the nation of Israel. Go back to Augustine. Way back in early church history. Of course, this is Catholic church history now. He called for the destruction of the nation of Israel because they had crucified the Messiah. But he forgot to read the fine print. Brother Abe, when he gets up here, he always refers to this chart. Brother, when you get to teaching, they might sell this chart. You can get one of these charts and you can teach in front of it. You know, when you get to teaching your Sunday school class, take one of these with you. I don't know whether they got one in Korean or not. But by the way, did you notice when he sings, he doesn't have an accent? Have you noticed that? He may have an accent when he's talking, but when he's singing just like a citizen. You go back here and you study how God has dealt. But God is going to call Israel back. He's going to use them for at least 1,000 years in this millennial reign. There are a lot of people who don't believe in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, but they do. Many, many people in the world, many religions don't believe Israel. They try to spiritualize who Israel is. You know the Jehovah's Witnesses? There's 144,000, you were, until that got filled up. But they try to replace this, what you call replacement theology. But the promises of God, you go all the way back there to the prophecy where it says promise. That's when God called out Abraham to make and he went through the line of Zeth. Okay, Zeth. What does Zeth mean? Zeth? Huh? Zeth. Substitute. And we then he went down and he went through the line of Shem, Noah's son, Shem. What does Shem mean? Name or monument? Well, through those people, God would bring forth His Word. But these people that God had used all the way through the ages had become contaminated with man-made religion. Now, in the end times, I think we're living in the end times, people. I think we're real close to the end, to tell you the truth. I have been saying that for 45 years. But I think it's more close. I know it's closer now than it was 45 years ago. I can assure you it's 45 years closer. As simple as that. But we have different people's opinions about the Jews. If you read the Quran, you'll find out that the Quran, they're going to send Jesus back. They have a Jesus too, but he's not the Jesus of the Bible at all, period. Jesus is going to come back, and you know what he's going to do in the Quran? He's going to kill all the Jews. He's going to kill them all. All right? He's going to kill all Christians. He's going to kill Jews first, and he's going to kill all Christians. And they have the beast that's going to come out of the earth. If you read the book of Revelation, you'll see the counterpart to this. What they say is good in theirs is what the book of Revelation says is bad in our book. Okay? Simple as that. It's opposites. Okay? We've had people all the way down through the ages. What you do with Jesus Christ is absolutely most important thing. Many religions try to play him down. He wasn't God. He wasn't God. Yes? The Muslims, he wasn't God. He's just a man. He wasn't God. He wasn't God. But without Jesus Christ being God and dying on the cross of Calvary, you have no faith. You don't have an entrance. You don't have a doorway into heaven at all. You study the Mormons and theology, and Jesus Christ is just another one of the gods. And that Joseph Smith is a descendant of him. You study in Jehovah's Witness theology, and he's the Archangel Michael, which couldn't save you at all. Okay? And he didn't die. And whoever it was that died on the cross, he never was rose. Without the resurrection, the Anastasia, there is no salvation. He died for our sins, but was raised for our what? Justification. You won't get to go to heaven without the resurrection. These things are paramount. Now, we see in the 20th chapter, we see some unusual people here. These are very polite. Did you know these people are polite? The Jews had come up and they were insulting Jesus, weren't they? Constantly insulting Christ. Constantly insulting. Now we have some people that aren't of his group. These are Greeks. These are Greek people. Hellas. Say Hellas. That's the way you say Hellas is the way you say Greek. It's not Greek, it's Hellas. That's our word for Greek. Hellas. Okay? These Greeks. Now there were certain Greeks in John 12 and verse 20 among those who were going up to worship at the feast. Okay? Now we have a feast up here. We're getting ready to do this feast. And these came to Philip, and who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and began to ask him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Now we see Philip and we see Andrew. Now what do we have there that's very important to tell us something? Why did they go to Philip and Andrew? Dr. John, you know why? How about you, Brother David? David over here, how about you? Anybody know why they went to Philip and Andrew? Christine, do you know? Jason? Philip and Andrew, what kind of names are those? Those are Greek names, aren't they? Click, turn the light on, Greek names. Greek names. Ha ha, they like us, they got Greek names. Andrew means manly. All right? That's come from... We got the word anthropos from that, or Andre, okay? Andre, anthropos. And then Philip comes from Philo and Hippos. Philip of Macedon. Alexander the Great's father. Philip is a great Greek name, okay? So they go to these guys, "Hey, we know you, and you got Greek names." All right? So we're going to go ask you because you might like us. We're outcast. But we really want to know Jesus. We're outcast. We're on the outside. We're not Jews, but we're interested. We're interested. Sometimes those that are far away are more interested than those that are so close. Jesus said what? A prophet has no honor in his own, literally what it says is his fatherland. Fatherland. All right, his fatherland. He has no honor in his own fatherland. Someone that is very spiritual and a great leader may not mean anything to their family at all, or their own family, immediate family. They don't see them. Others may look upon them as great theologians or whatever, but their own family, they have no honor. No honor in their own family. Now, this is not the family of Shem, is it? This isn't the family of Shem. Who did these people come from? Where did these Greeks come from? Huh? Japheth. If you go and you ask the Greeks, who is your founder? And they say, Geppetto. Who was Geppetto in history? And how many of you read these children's books and stuff? Who was Geppetto? The guy that made Pinocchio, you know. Geppetto is Japheth. In the Bible. Now, also, Abraham married three women, didn't he? Abraham had, you don't hear this in church a lot, but Abraham had three wives. I want to emphasize this. Very important. He had three wives. If you take your lineage, your DNA, you can probably trace it back to Abraham. Did you know that? I can go back to Abraham with my, I'm literally a great-great-grandson of Abraham. Literally, I'm in his lineage. Okay? His first wife that had a child by him was who? Hagar. And she was Pharaoh's daughter. She was Pharaoh's illegitimate daughter, okay? That was his illegitimate daughter. Or by a concubine. Well, she was his legitimate daughter, but she was by a concubine, which had no inheritance, basically. But he gave Hagar to Abraham for a political alliance. Because Abraham was a very renowned and powerful man in his time, even though he come wandered down to Egypt starving. But he wanted to have a marriage by, you know, so he would, their families would be the same, see. Well, he took her and he didn't marry her for a long time until Sarah demanded that he marry her and she had a child. Sarah wanted to prove to Abraham that it wasn't her fault. She wasn't having kids. It was his fault. God was upset with him. And then when God immediately let her be impregnated, then she got real mad. Sarah means what? Sarai. It means contentious. And she was very contentious. And chased old Hagar out there in the woods. And she got out there and got the bawling and squalling and calling on Jehovah. She knew who Jehovah was. And what did Jehovah, she said, the Lord is my shepherd. That's the first person that said, the Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Roeh. Watches over me. He came out there and said, don't worry about it. You have a baby in your womb and he shall be called Ishmael. And because of Abraham, I'm going to make him great. He's going to be nations. Now, Ishmael is the problem we're having over there in the Middle East right now. Isn't it? Okay. Well, he had Ishmael first. And Ishmael means what? God hears. He had a good scriptural name, didn't he? Okay. And then he had been cohabiting with Sarah, but she couldn't conceive. Finally, she conceived and she had Yitzchak. Say Yitzchak. That's Isaac in our language. You know? But it's Yitzchak, which means pleasure or laughter or whatever. She had pleasure, even when she was old. And then Sarah died and he married who? Keturah. Now, Sarah was a Shemite, wasn't she? So now we have a Hamite, we have a Shemite, and Abraham's the father of these people. Okay? Now he marries Keturah, and who is Keturah? From what lineage is Keturah? She's a Japhethite. So guess what? He had more kids by Keturah than he did any of the others.
And one of those children, they say, is Alexander the Great and Philip of Macedon.
Here we go, all the way over there with Abraham's descendants, and now Abraham's descendants have come back here on this day. These are Greeks, aren't they? Some of these are related to Keturah, because a lot of those people went up in that area. If Alexander the Great, did God use Alexander the Great? Greatly. Did God use the language of the Greek people? Greatly, because he would write his New Testament in that, and they would have the Old Testament scriptures in the Septuagint translated in that, so they could understand it. All over the world, Koine Greek was what? Universal language. A universal language of all the people. That's what they were using. So many people try to say that the Bible was written in Aramaic or something like that. That's baloney. Written in Greek. Koine Greek. Because the whole world could have it. They were speaking Koine Greek. They spoke Aramaic, yes. They spoke some Hebrew, very little. They spoke some Latin, yes. But the common language was what? At least Greek language. Okay. Now here they come back. Here they come back, and they're looking for somebody that will equate with them. Hey, these two guys have Greek names. Andrew and Philip. And the Greeks among those who were going up to worship at the feast. Now these Greeks were very polite in their request. Extremely polite. And therefore came Philip. Philip means what? Comes from philo and hippos in Greek. What? The lover of horses, like Philip of Macedon. From Bethesda. Bethsaida, that is. Bethsaida. Now, what does Bethsaida mean? Remember what Bethsaida means? Brother Mike, you remember that?
The house,
yeah, Beth. Beth. House of what, Brother Roger? You remember that?
I don't.
The house of the spreading of nets. The house of the spreading of nets. This is where they spread their nets to dry and repair them. Bethesda. Okay?
Of Galilee. And of course, Galilee was what? That was fishermen's country, wasn't it? A lot of fishermen. Now, not all of them. There were a lot of farmers around there, too. Okay, therefore Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and they kept on, it says, and they kept on asking him, saying, and now they use the word sir, Lord. Lord. Lord, we wish to see, Lord, please, we wish to see Jesus. We wish to see him. A polite request. Powerful people, but they were polite. Polite in requesting to see Jesus. And Philip came to and told who? Andrew, another Greek name. Okay? And Andrew and Philip came and they told Jesus. Now here they are. Now these guys have these Greek names, all right. And now they're going to tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. What in the world does that mean? What is he talking about? What's he talking about? Son of Man to be glorified. On the cross of Calvary. That is humiliation, isn't it? But that humiliation, he went through humiliation to bring glory to God. Through that humiliation, we have salvation. All right? Your witness will say, the man that died on the cross of Calvary, we don't know who he was or what happened, but whether his body just evaporated or whatever. The Muslim will say, Jesus did not die on the cross of Calvary. God was deceived. Allah was deceitful, and he was more deceitful than they were, and he tricked them and sent either Simon or Judas Iscariot on that cross, and they died. That's not what the Bible says. By the way, the Bible, we have the Bible, we have scriptures that were within 10 and 15 years of the writing of them. We have, in the Nestle Allen text today, the scientific biblical criticism, and that's critiquing where all these manuscripts came from. We can go right back, when you read the Gospel of John, it's just like when John wrote it. It's valid. Valid. When you read the book of Ephesians, it's valid, just like it was back then. What is the oldest gospel as far as we know? What's the oldest one?
Mark.
What? Mark. That's before 70 A.D. Pretty old. That's an old witness. And these people were all still alive. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John knew Jesus. Even Paul, that wrote several books of the New Testament, knew Jesus, didn't he? He also knew Stephen there, because he was the one that had Stephen stoned. He was the head of the Sanhedrin that had Stephen stoned. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth. Now, he explains to us what the glory is. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains by itself alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. What's he talking about? You know that they have found wheat that goes like 1,000 B.C., 2,000 B.C.? 2,000 years before Christ. Where do they find this? In the pyramids. They go and they give it water and they give it sunlight, and guess what? It wakes up. Because the germ of life that God put in there is there. But it would stay there for another 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 years if it wasn't fertilized and if it wasn't buried in the ground. Jesus said, unless I die, I cannot give you eternal life. I must die. God must be glorified by my death. Okay? Jesus had to die. Jesus had to be a core. Where is the gospel? People talk about the gospel all the time. What is the gospel? Where would you go in the Bible to tell me what the gospel is? Boy, I preached that one time up in Nevada in a little church there, and I fought for 6 months before I could finally get them to give me the right answer. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. What does it say there? Paul says what the gospel was. He had to remind that church in Corinth there what the gospel was. They had forgotten what the gospel was. The gospel is that Jesus Christ came according to what? The Scriptures. He was born of the right family. When Jesus came, Joseph, his so-called, what are you going to call a stepfather or whatever, you know, Mary, the marriage had not been consummated. She was only engaged to him, and she was pregnant. But she was pregnant by God. Okay? And Joseph was supposed to be on the throne of Israel. Who was on there? One of Ishmael and Esau's descendants. They are not the promised descendants, but they were on the throne. You know, the devil works overtime, doesn't he? There's an old saying that goes way back hundreds of years ago. A lie can get 100 miles before the truth can get its boots on. That's just the way it is. Lies, error, will travel a lot faster than truth any day. Jesus, it is necessary for him to be who he was. Even the name that he had. Jesus means what? Jehovah saves. All right, he was born of the right family. In the gospel, according to Matthew, you have the what we call the kingly genealogy of Jesus. And Luke, the 3rd chapter, we have what? Mary's lineage, his earthly lineage. Back that, because that's really what... The other one was only his right to the throne. But the second one, and even because Joseph accepted Jesus as his son, even though he wasn't literally his seed, he was still heir because he was the firstborn. He was heir to the throne. Matthew, the 1st chapter. Luke, the 3rd chapter. Jesus is definitely related to all of us. You go there and you'll see him going through Rahab the harlot. You'll see him going through Tamar and Judah. You know, Judah was a scoundrel. You know, he was a scoundrel. But God used him, the lion of the tribe of Judah. He who loves his life loses it. 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, Jesus Christ came according to the Scriptures. That He did exactly what He's supposed to. He had all of the messianic credentials by miracles, didn't He? Did He or did He not? We studied in history where He did all those miracles. Pontius Pilate's letter, which is one of the most factional, absolutely a statement of fact. He is quoted by gobs of historians. Just gobs of historians. Over and over and over again. You could almost reproduce the whole letter that Pilate wrote about Jesus through extra-biblical history that wrote about what he had said back then. Even the Jews, well, of course, the Jews looked at him in a wicked way, but they wrote, they confirmed that he was born of Mary, that she was supposed to be a virgin. They confirmed that he died on the cross of Calvary, and they demanded his death, and that somehow or another he rose from the dead, but it wasn't by the power of God, according to them. It was by the power of Satan. That he had all these disciples, that he healed the blind, that he raised the dead, but it was all by the power of Satan, they said. But you know what? That is a confirmation in history that he did it. Okay? Pontius Pilate said he did it because he was God's son. He who loves his life loses it. 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, they came according to the Scriptures, that he lived according to the Scriptures, that he died according to the Scriptures, that he was buried according to the Scriptures. Remember what he's saying right here? He's telling the whole story of the death, burial, and resurrection right here. If you want to cross-reference this to 1 Corinthians the 15th chapter, just go and say, John, the 12th chapter, verses 23 through 25. It's talking about it. That he was buried according to the Scripture, and that he was raised according to the Scriptures, and that he was validated that he raised from the dead. Even Roman sources said he was raised from the dead. Several Roman sources, including Pontius Pilate and Tiberius Caesar. By the way, remember last week, who was Pontius Pilate's wife? Who was she related to? Huh? Tiberius Caesar, the ruler. That was his daughter. It was by a concubine, but that was his daughter. It was his, what we call, illegitimate daughter, not without any rights, but that was his daughter. She was the granddaughter of Augustus Caesar. That's who Pontius Pilate's wife was. Okay? Do you think that the gospel was reaching? These people were far away from the promises of God, weren't they? But some were believing. Some were believing. In this world shall keep it. See, he who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world shall keep it to life eternal. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant also be. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Okay? Now, Jesus is going to go on. He told earlier, he says, I and the Father are one. Huh? Yeah. Why? I and the Father are one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is what? One God. We only have one God. We don't have three gods. We don't have Jesus here. We don't have the Holy Spirit over here. We don't have the Father over here. We have God, which is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Period. Not three gods. A lot of people like to believe in a trinity, three different ones. We believe in a triune. Trinity, you can stretch it out real good. Triune means three in one. Okay? I believe in the Trinity, but I don't believe in the Trinity like some people believe in the Trinity. I don't have three gods wandering around. Okay? I only have one. The physical expression of God is what? Jesus. All right? You go, if you want to teach the Trinity, don't go to 1 John 5 and 7. Go to Genesis 1:26. It'll tell you how God made man in His image. In His shadow casting image, which is His spiritual image, in His blood flowing likeness, which is His physical image, and in His sovereign likeness, which is His mental or soulless image, which is the image of the Father. Okay? Now my soul has become troubled, depressed. under great torment. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. He's looking forward to his death, isn't he? He's talking about his death. He kept talking about his death. We're going to see that a little bit further down the line. Father, glorify thy name. There came, therefore, a voice out of heaven. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The multitude, therefore, stood by and heard the sound out of heaven. Okay. Who do you think this sound was in heaven? Who was Jesus talking to there? Father, glorify thy name. And what did he just do? Now the Father spoke from heaven and they heard the voice of God. At Jesus' baptism, what happened? God, we have a condensation, we have an epiphany there, so to speak. We hear the voice of the Father from heaven. We see something like a dove light on Jesus, which is supposed to represent what? The Spirit of God is like a shadow image that came down upon him. A skia, a shadow image that came down upon him and lit upon him. We see the Son, the physical image. We know that the Holy Spirit's there, and now we hear the Father speak from heaven. And this is our triune God right there. Okay? There came a voice from out of heaven. I have both glorified it, and I shall glorify it again. And the multitude, therefore, who stood by heard it, and they kept on saying that it had thundered. Those that didn't want to believe said it's just thunder. When Israel was standing down at the foot of Mount Sinai, by the way, in Hebrew, what does thunder mean, Brother Roger? Remember what thunder means? How about
voice.
You? What?
God's voice.
God's voice. They thought thunder was God's voice. They heard God's voice up there, and they thought that voice was thunder. From then on, they said when it thundered, they were hearing the voice of God. Every time it thunders, you don't hear the voice of God. You might be hearing the voice of Satan. Did you know that? Who was the real author of all the storms and the vicious things on the earth? Satan. Read the book of Job. And they were saying that it thundered. Others were saying an angel has spoken to him. An angel has spoken. They recognized that is a voice coming out of heaven. Not just thunder. Not just superstition now. They became superstitious. Israel was very superstitious. When they go, if you go to the Wailing Wall today, they will take out of a box, and they'll carry this box with great honor. They'll take out the scriptures, the scroll, and they will kiss it, and they'll kiss it, and they'll kiss it. Just every little bit they'll kiss it. And they'll roll it, and they kiss it, and they kiss it, and they kiss it. The Bible said, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. That's idolatry, people. We can be so guilty, that is idolatry. Even though they don't like it, that is idolatry.
Phil,
yes.
And they still do it when they go to the Wailing Wall.
That's right.
They
kiss it, kiss it, kiss it. They'll kiss the wall. They just sit there and rock, you know, rock and rock and rock toward that wall. That wall means a lot to them. That's the only thing left of the original temple there. Don't worry about that temple. Jesus told the Samaritan woman in the 4th chapter of the Gospel according to John. She said, where should we worship God? Here on this mountain, Mount Gerizim, or up there in Jerusalem where you were worshiping? And what did he say? He said, you don't know what you're talking about. We have the oracles of God. You don't. He said, you're wrong. He told her, you were wrong. But up there, but I tell you, and I say now is, those that worship God will not worship in a temple, but what? In spirit and truth. Because the temple is going to be destroyed. And the temple is going to be destroyed because of that man in John, the 19th chapter, that they turned loose on him. Barabbas, which was one of the head ring and leaders of the Sicarii. The Sicarii is what caused the destruction of the temple of Jerusalem because of what they pulled out there on Masada. And all of their... They were assassins. Okay? I always tell the truth whether it's good or not. Did you know that? We can be on one side only and just put our blinders on. I'm for Israel. I'm going to tell you that. I'm for Israel because God's for Israel. But not everything Israel does is straight up. As simple as that. A lot of things that's not straight up. And this wasn't straight up. This is straight down. Okay? This voice came out of heaven. He said, Jesus answered and said to them, this voice has not come for my sake. Do you think that Jesus knew that the Father, he was going to the plan of the Father all the time? Sure he did. What does Jesus say? This voice did not come for my sake, but for your sakes. All of you around here. This was an epiphany. This was a condensation so that they could understand what Jesus was doing, the Father wanted done. This was the eternal plan of God's eternal purpose. Now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world shall be cast out. Boy, I'm looking forward to that. But the deed was taken over right here. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. If I be lifted up, now what is he talking about?
On the cross.
Huh?
On the cross.
On the cross. Okay, now they don't quite understand this. Somebody read 1 John 2 and 2 for me. Let's see who can find 1 John 2 and 2 the quickest. Who's got John 2 and 2? 1 John 2 and 2. 1 John 2 and 2. 1 John 2 and 2. You got that already, Chris? We want to come up here and read it for me. 1 John 2 and 2. Same guy writing both of these.
I can't see the number.
1 John
2.
2 and 2.
They don't have numbers on my. Can I just start in one?
Go ahead.
Sorry. They don't have them numbered. So, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world.
All right, the whole cosmos. The whole world. Jesus Christ died for all men's sins. It's not efficacious to all of them, I want to tell you that. Not all people are going to get to go to heaven, only those that believe. But Jesus Christ, the cross, his death on the cross was sufficient to save all mankind. Not only for all mankind, but to buy the whole cosmos back. All the rocks, all the stars, all the meteorites, all of everything out there is going to be God's again one of these days. He so loved the world, John 3:16. And by the way, this is here in John, the 12th chapter, we have in verse number 32, we have John 3:16 reaffirmed, don't we? Same thing again. Verse number 33. But he was saying this to indicate what kind of death by which he was to die. And the multitude therefore answers him, we have heard out of the law that Christ is to remain forever. Jesus didn't go to die. What about Isaiah 53 and Psalm 22? Did they not look at that? They were looking at it in one way with tunnel vision. Israel was looking in tunnel vision. The Christ was going to come back and he's going to whoop the whole world. But what they didn't read is that Jesus Christ is going to die. They forgot what Genesis 3:15 says. I don't know whether any of them Jews really understand what Genesis 3:15 says. There's going to be the seed of the Antichrist and the seed of the woman. They're going to do battle. It just says that. Genesis 3:15, he says to Satan, and woman and man are there, he said, I will put active hatred between your seed. Who's your seed? Satan's seed, which is who? Is Satan going to have a child? Yeah. He's going to have a child. He's going to have a literal son. God had a literal son, didn't he? God had a literal son. The seed that was placed in Mary's womb was from God. Right. And the only thing God can have is God. Did you know that? God produced God in the flesh. Mary related God to us through the flesh so that God could redeem all mankind. I'll tell you what, no religion in the world has that down there. No religion in the world except for the truth. I feel sorry for those poor Catholics over there in these Islamic worlds, because a lot of them are dying for the Word of God. They're dying, and they don't understand all about it. But they're dying for it. All the Coptics, all of those people are dying. Everyone, if they got the name of Christ, then they're dying right now. All of their places. I was in Lebanon in 1975 and 76. I flew into Beirut, Lebanon, and landed in Beirut, Lebanon. I didn't know what was going on there at that time. I'm reading a book about a woman that lived there during that time. She was 10 years old right then. Beirut, Lebanon was the only democracy in the Middle East. Did you know that? Or Lebanon was the only democracy. How many of you knew that? Lebanon was the only democracy in the Islamic world. Okay, the only one. And the reason why is because they had a Christian majority. There was all kinds of Christians there, just all different kinds of denominations, but they had a Christian they had a Christian majority. And they had a democracy. Everybody had representatives. They had a president that was a Christian, they had a vice president on down the line that were the different orders of the different people. And they did everything according to what the population was. If there was 60% here, you had so many representatives. It was just like the House of Representatives and the Senate. Just like that. That's the way they had it in Lebanon. How many of you knew that? Anybody? Well, anyway, when the king of Jordan, King Hussein of Jordan, he kicked the PLO out of there. Guess where the PLO went? To Lebanon. And then all of these other people, they were coming from Iran and Iraq and all over the place, are pouring into Lebanon. And pretty soon, the majority of them was above them. Not only that, Muslims have a lot of people, don't they? A lot of children. Osama bin Laden, you know how many children was in his family? How many children was in the Osama bin Laden family? He had 53 brothers and sisters by one father. He had 27 children. The Christians were having 2 or 3, 4 children. And they're just outproducing them right and left because they can have 4 wives and all of the concubines that their right hand can possess. Did you know that? Like Abraham, okay? Abraham had one wife we look at, which is Sarah. But he had another. These were all his wives, but they were not heirs. Hagar's child was not an heir, really, was she? But he received blessing because he's Abraham's son. How about Keturah's? They didn't get any. They weren't heirs, spiritual heirs, but they were heirs of Abraham. So God blessed them too. They have all the women that the right hand can possess. That means by war. By war. Whatever they can get, whatever women. You go in and you conquer a nation and you possess all of their property. And you take their wives because they're yours. You take their daughters because they're yours. Those are not wives, but they are all your right hand can possess. All this went on. I flew in there. Brother Madden was sitting right beside me. He went like this to me. Boy, and that's a big jarring thing. He'd jar the wall when he, boom, against the wall when he did that to me. Well, Phillips, you know, like this. Watch them cannon fire. Watch them rifles following us. Anti-aircraft rifles were following our airplane just like this.
That makes me feel real funny.
He said, I've seen this before, boy. Yeah, that's what he said. We get down on the ground finally with all these rifles following us. Now, I wouldn't even pay any attention to that because I hadn't been in war. But he had. He was an Anzio. Went all the way through Otto Murphy from Africa, all the way to Anzio, fought in Anzio. Brother Madden, when he got out of Anzio, he weighed 130-something pounds. You know, this guy's 6 foot six, 6 foot eight. He's skin and bones. He's starving to death down there. Had to kill his best friend in that ditch in Anzio. Anyway, we got down on the ground, and they came out there with a Jeep with a machine gun on it, screaming and hollering in Arabic at us, with that machine gun pointing at the door and all the windows, just like this, all over. How do you think that would make you feel there, Brother Ron? A little on the edge, maybe? And we were emergency landing. We need oil. They finally got out there and they got another Jeep, put a ladder up on it, and poured oil in the engine that oil was running out of because I saw the engine was leaking oil. I told them that over the Mediterranean. All the way from Rome, Italy, that thing was leaking oil. We lit down there and they followed us out with those anti-aircraft weapons. The next day we found out what happened. See, our little girl was down there in the middle of all this stuff. They shot down their president's airplane the next day. That's what happened. Well, that day, actually. The next day, we found out what happened. We were in their way. They're getting ready to kill somebody. All right? They were having a revolution, and that revolution was to take the Christian majority, which the Christians allowed them to believe anything they want to. They could have all, they had representatives and everything else. It's no longer a democracy. No longer a democracy today. Let's go on a little further. They said Christ is to remain forever. How can he say that the Son of Man is going to be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? And Jesus therefore said to them, for a little while longer, the light is among you. Walk while you have light, and that darkness may not overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, in order that you may become sons of the light. These things Jesus spoke, and he departed and hid himself from them. But though he had performed so many signs before them, yet they were not believing in him. Those that came from far away believed, didn't they? But these here up close didn't believe. No matter what he did, they didn't want to believe. Verse number 38, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. Here's the Old Testament. This is Isaiah 53 and verse 1. The Lord who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed. For this cause they could not believe, for Isaiah again said, he has blinded their eyes, and he has hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and perceive with their heart and be converted, and I heal them. These things Isaiah said because he saw his glory and he spoke of him. Isaiah saw Jesus in Isaiah the 53rd chapter. He saw the suffering Messiah. Nevertheless, many even of the rulers believed in him. But because of that, many even of the rulers, look at that word rulers there. Who was old Pontius Pilate? Who was Pontius Pilate? He was a ruler. He was a sayer. He was a prince. Prince of the earth, a ruler over this area of the earth, okay? And they were rulers in the synagogues too, some of them. Some of them believed. A few of them. Who were two of them that believed? Who were the two rulers of the synagogues that believed? Name them. Joseph of Arimathea and who? Nicodemus. What does Nicodemus mean? Nicodemus. Nicodemus. Deimos is, it means a crowd of people, like an oklos, except a crowd is a mob. Deimos. Okay? Nico, that means a crowd buster, crowd conqueror, or a ruler over people. That's what Nicodemus means. He was a ruler. He was a ruler of Jews. Probably the most educated and powerful man that ever came and interviewed Jesus. But he was coming by means of the Sanhedrin. Many of the rulers believed in him. Not because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. All right? They wouldn't tell about that they believed because they'd be thrown out of the synagogue. There's too many of them. They were outnumbered. Now, verse number 43 is a very beautiful verse, and here we have the word agapeo. Say agapeo. Now, agapeo means the sacrificial love, something you're going to give your life for. It can be used in a good sense and a bad sense, and right here it's used in a bad sense. I read a book one time by a man that said the word agapeo does not mean divine love. Because it's used right here, that word agapeo is used right here. And it doesn't mean divine love. It doesn't mean sacrificial love. It's just love. But let's look and see what it says here. For they have loved. That word is agapason. Okay? For they have loved the glory. The word there is approval in most of the translations, but it's doxo. They love the glory of men, the praise of men, the approval of men, the shouting and the cheers of men. Much rather, hypermalon is what it says in Greek. Way beyond. They love the approval of man. They love the glory of mankind. Way beyond the glory of the approval of God. Now, what did it cost them? What did this love for the praise of man cost them? It cost them their lives and their eternal souls. That's what it cost them. So it was sacrificial love, wasn't it? They gave their life for it. They gave their souls for it. And Jesus cried out and said, He who believes in me does not believe in me, but in him who sent me. And he who beholds me beholds the one who sent me. Again, he repeats one thing. I and the Father are what? One and the same. I have come as a light into the world that everyone who believes in me may not remain in darkness. And if anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I do not come into the world to judge the world. Here we have John 3:18 repeated one more. I didn't come into the world to condemn the world because the world has already been condemned. Who that does not believe in the only begotten Son and the only name under God, where there may be heaven, is condemned already because they don't believe. They chose darkness rather than light. Light came in the world that condemned them, and they chose darkness rather than light. He who rejects me does not receive my sayings. He who has one who judges him, and the word which I spoke. And here John says, Jesus' words are the same thing as the Old Testament Scriptures, on par and on level, on power status with the Old Testament Scriptures. The words of Jesus were the words of Jehovah. That's what he's saying. And I will judge him at the last day. For I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me commandment what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. And therefore, the things that I speak just as the Father has told me. We talk about the mystery of the incarnation. And here it is, the mystery of the incarnation. Jesus was God in flesh. Jesus was not half man and half God. Do you understand that? Jesus all the time was man and all the time God. All the time man and all the time. People sometimes try to separate them, but it's not able to be separated. And he came to save us from our sins. Jesus Christ came to save us from our sins. And the gospel is that Jesus Christ came according to the Scriptures. He was born by the right family and born in the right place, wasn't he, in Bethlehem. He was raised in Nazareth, out of a root ground. Nazareth means root or sprout. He said, out of dry ground, out of the sprout, I will call my son. Out of there. I will call my son from Egypt. He was taken down in Egypt, wasn't he, because Herod tried to kill him. He died on the cross of Calvary. He had performed all the miracles that proved who he was, the Messiah. He was buried according to the Scriptures, buried with the rich, Joseph of Arimathea's grave. He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Everything in the Old Testament. How long was Jonah in the belly of that great fish? 3 days. Which was the type of what? The death of Christ and burial of Christ. And then he was raised and spit out there and he preached, didn't he? Did Jesus preach after he was raised? Yeah, he preached. Preached to his people and sent them out. All right, thank you for your word, listening today, for your kind attention to God's word. And go out and do something eternal.